All right, here we go. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. There's no doomsday scenario, but the worst possible scenario happened last night for the Dodgers. They lost a game they should have won. They stranded runners. Kenta Maeda was hammered in the ninth inning. And all of a sudden, they find themselves now no longer in control of their own destiny. Now they basically have to win out.
Yeah, I stopped saying the games that they should have won. I don't think Dodgers, all season long, there's a games out there that they should have won, maybe other than the ones they lost to Cincinnati and Miami. But, you know, Diamondbacks have kind of had their number over the years. So I don't take them for granted at all, especially when they've got an opportunity to knock the Dodgers out. But, yeah, you look up and see the missed opportunities, runners in scoring position on base, and it frustrates you.
Well, they were 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position last night. They stranded 9 runners. They missed multiple opportunities to move runners over, make productive outs. In the eighth, the Dodgers weren't able to score a run with a man on second base and nobody down. So the bottom line is this. They've got a half-game lead on the Rockies. Dodgers are off tomorrow. Rockies play. If the Rockies win, now you're tied. And there are about 7 different scenarios as to what could happen. So joining us now, the host of Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck, Tim Cates, who will eloquently sum up the possibilities.
What's going on, guys?
What could happen?
Hello, Timmy.
You said 7 scenarios. I've officially got 5.
Okay, so
scenarios.
I added 2.
5 scenarios. All right, Kev, let's find out the scenarios. We got 5 teams vying for 4 spots. The NL West, that's 1 spot. The NL Central, that's the 2nd spot. And 2 wild card spots. Follow along. 5 teams, 4 spots. 5 teams,
4 spots.
4 spots. Jay Stu, how many teams we got going?
5 teams, 4 spots.
5!
Okay, we got 5 for how many spots, Jay Stu? 4.
4.
There we go. Okay, 5 teams, 4 spots.
5.
The NL West, Dodgers and
4.
Rockies. Dodgers and Rockies. Dodgers and Rockies, the NL West. NL Central, Cardinals, Brewers, and Cubs. Cardinals, Brewers, and Cubs. 5 teams, 4 spots.
Right.
Here's scenario number 1.
1.
Dodgers win the NL West. Simple. They play the Braves in the NLDS. That's easy, right?
Easy.
Scenario number 1, Dodgers win the NL West. All right. Scenario number
2.
Dodgers and Rockies finish tied atop the NL West. So they play a game 163 on Monday at Dodger Stadium. Dodgers win. They play the Braves in the NLDS. That's simple, right?
Simple.
Scenario 1, Dodgers win it.
Simple.
Game over. Scenario 2, Dodgers and Rockies play in a play-in game. Game 163, Dodgers win. They move on. All here's right. Scenario number
3.
Dodgers and Rockies finish tied atop the NL West. They play this play-in game on Monday. And the Dodgers lose the game. Doesn't mean they're done. The Rockies win the NL West. Dodgers then would play either Chicago or Milwaukee in a wild card game on Tuesday.
On the road?
On the road.
But wait a minute. Let me ask this. So let's say the Dodgers lose that game.
The play-in game.
The play-in game.
Yes.
All right.
They lose the division.
They lose the division.
They're a wild card team.
They're a wild card team. But what if they're tied with St. Louis for the wild card?
Doesn't matter. They cannot host back-to-back playoff play-in games. In essence, a play-in game and a wild card game.
But what I'm saying is to get into the wild card, what if they're tied with St. Louis?
That's another scenario here, Fred.
Oh, we're not there yet.
Get to. That's scenario coming up right now.
I'm
scenario
sorry.
4.
Okay.
Dodgers, Rockies, and Cardinals end up with the same record.
Okay.
And as I clearly want to make this noted, it's a mess if that happens.
Right.
It is a absolute cluster, you know what, if that happens.
Okay.
You're going to have multiple games before you even get to the NLDS. Here's scenario number
5?
4.
5,
Jay Stu, 5.
What happened to 4? Did I miss 4?
Scenario 4 is a 3-way tie, and it's a mess. Scenario number 5 is a scenario I really don't want to get into.
Scenario 5?
The Dodgers, Dodgers don't make the postseason at all.
5.
They lose. They don't make it.
They lose at any point and they're out.
Yeah, they go 0-4 the rest of the way. Let's say they're done.
5.
That's scenario
Wait,
number 5.
Tim, so you said they can't play 2-1 play-in games?
They can't play the
back-to-back.
They can't
at
play
home?
Game 163 at home on Monday against the Rockies if it's
Why?
A play-in game. Well, they would host it.
Right.
And then if they had played a wild card game, they couldn't host the wild card game either. You cannot host back-to-back games. The MLB rule.
Ooh.
So they'd have to play the wild card game no matter what on the road.
Yeah, but my confusion again.
There's
and
no
I think
confusion.
It was
I laid it out very nicely.
No, it was scenario 4.
5 teams, 4 spots, 5 right. scenarios.
But whatever, even if they have a better record than Milwaukee or St. Louis.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. They'd have to go to road.
If they play that play-in game on Monday, game 163,
that's a terrible rule.
They cannot host back-to-back games.
That's a terrible rule.
But the scenario is they might have to, in essence, play 2 play-in games to get to the wild card, correct?
No, to get to the NLDS.
That could happen if there's a multiple tie.
That's what I'm saying.
They'd have to play the play-in game against the Rockies on Monday.
They lose.
They'd have to then play the Cardinals
in
a second game to find out who wins the second wild card.
Right.
And then play the wild card game on a Wednesday and then play the NLDS on a Friday. They'd move it to Friday.
All right, so that was it.
Yeah, but that's all.
That's
not
scenario four where I wrote right here. That's a mess.
Four.
But that's a mess. We don't want to get to that.
But that's not going
to
happen because Fred said that the Rockies had no hope a month ago.
Well, I don't have that as any of my scenarios here, actually.
Me either.
So
hope.
Let's recap real quick. Five teams.
Right.
Four spots.
Right.
Five teams, four spots, five real scenarios. We want scenario one. We don't want scenario five. Simple. Hey. Did you write it down?
I got it up here, Tim.
I know you got it right. I'm not worried about you, Rodney.
Right on, Timmy.
You knew playbooks, you know, left and right, you know.
Back to forth, front to back, up to down.
Absolutely.
All of that.
I'm worried about Fred. He's looking at me like a deer in headlights. Like,
no, I got it. Okay. I got it. My only confusion was, what if?
See, that's confusing because now everybody's like, what? What's see?
Yeah. No.
We don't want five. Don't ever play five. We don't want five.
No, it was four that got me.
Four
only
is when you have
tracks.
Multiple teams, and like I said, that's a mess.
Right. And there's a possibility that Chicago ends up as a wild card.
Absolutely.
Milwaukee beats them out as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not playing good right now.
And Milwaukee's playing lights out. Woo!
I'm scared.
You are scared.
You know, Kristen Yelich was kind of, you know, on the market for a minute there.
Yeah, now he's going to be the National League MVP.
Yes, he is.
Westlake Village.
Yeah.
The Dodger.
Local kid.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. There's your scenario, guys.
Thanks Tim Cates.
All right.
Well, Rodney, after you hear that, what scenario do you pick?
I pick none of the above.
One
is the easiest.
Just go
one.
Win the division and call it a day. Yeah, let's go win the division. Rockies lose two, we win them all, and we win the division, and we play Atlanta. Let the rest sort itself out.
Yeah, but first things first, tonight the Dodgers in Arizona. Zach Greinke goes for the Diamondbacks, and the Dodgers go with a bullpen game. It'll be Ross Stripling starting. You know, you can scratch your head. You can try to point fingers. You can wonder how in the world it's all come down to this. But it's been one of those years. It just simply has. And if you're a fan, I know you're frustrated. But what else could anybody have done, realistically?
Not pitch Kenta Maeda in the ninth inning.
Oh,
he has an ERA of 18 in the ninth inning.
Yep.
You know, he's given
and
up
let's not
six
play
runs.
Chris Taylor because he has struck out more than anybody else in the National League. So let's not play him. Oh, wait a minute. He's hot right now. He had a double in the late innings.
A big double.
Let's not play him because he's got more strikeouts than anybody.
How about this? If you have runners on second base with nobody out, you better get him to third base in the next three hitters. The Dodgers did that three times last night and came up with nothing. And it's what's funny about this whole thing is
that a strategy or is that players?
You guys talk about making the playoffs. Like in the playoffs, your warts are only more enhanced, right? You're going to be exposed even more. Why would we expect this offense to do any better in October than they have been all season?
Yeah, it's the MO. And they put up the scary stat last night of Dodgers' record in one-run games, which is not very good, versus the Rockies' record in one-run games. And when you get into the playoffs, most games are one-run games. So, yeah, it feels like a doomsday scenario for the Dodgers. But, again, you never know. It's why you keep playing them. And the Dodgers are still maintaining their way into a possible sixth National League West title. And, you know, you think about the Diamondbacks. They led the division every first of every month all season long. All season long. And now they faded at the end in September. They got to be, you know, 10 times more frustrated than the Dodgers.
Yeah, I get that. But Dodger fans, of course, you know, with expectations as they are, and there's just an expectation each and every year that they're going to win the division. And they still can win the division. They still can. Just they're no longer in control of their own destiny. That's the issue now. Now you've got to win. All right, Jason, what's coming up, by the way, at 12:30 today?
Well, Kenta Maeda, if you remember right, he hit a batter in the face on Tuesday or Monday night.
He did.
Well, he was asked about that last night, and you'll be surprised about his answer.
Ooh.
Or did he answer?
Oh, Jason.
All right, well, we'll find that out at 12:30. When we come back, We're gonna alter what we normally do a little bit because we know people have something to say. We're gonna let you vent. Just let you vent in the next segment. We've run down the scenarios. Tim Cates did an incredible job for us. Five teams, four spots. We've run down all the possible scenarios. It's come down to this. Dodger fans, you can vent. 866-987-2570. How do you think it plays out? How do you think this ends? We've given you the scenarios. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. All right, Rodney. Let people vent now. Let them get
their
chest.
Let them go.
Don't you think?
Of course. We're down into the nitty-gritty, Fred. We call this when the rubber meets the road. It's down to win or go home. You better win them all. So, yeah, let the people vent.
All right, so how do you think it all plays out, given what's happened? 866-987-2570. Chris in Hacienda Heights, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. What do you think?
Thanks. Hi, Fred. Hi, Rodney. I think that this is typical Dodger baseball. We are going to win the West. We need a little drama in our life. This is what happened in 88. We weren't expected to win, and now the expectation is to win. However, there's going to be a lot of flash and drama. Matt Kemp's going to be our MVP. He's been our MVP the entire season, and this is exactly how it's going to – this is how it's unfolding. A good rabbi told me one time, enjoy the process. So don't worry, Dodger fans. Stay faithful. We got this.
Thanks, Chris.
Says not to worry.
Well, if the rabbi says so.
Yeah.
That's what I say. And the high holy days have just been completed. So everybody's done their atoning. And now the Dodgers will, according to Chris, just be fine.
Sounds like his rabbi was giving him like a very like cliched thing in life. Did he also tell him to take it one day at a time? Give 110%?
Ooh. Don't question the rabbi.
Yeah.
Don't question the rabbi. And by the way.
How dare you, Jason Stewart?
Don't question this. Somebody's going to win $1,000. I hope it's you.
Don't ignore that text. Don't ignore that call. The only way you can win is pick up the phone, answer the phone. Answer the phone. That's how we put a grand in your hand.
All right, so if you get it, answer it. Dodger fans, you get to vent your spleen right now. Irving in South L.A., you're on AM 570 L.A. Sports. What do you think?
I think eventually I have faith in my team, but I think it's going to be no thanks to Mr. Roberts. I don't know if you remember that one game where he threw a grip of pitchers in, and then to win the game, he basically gave up, threw in Kike Hernandez. Right now, we would have still been up a game and a half. We go ahead and make the right decisions in that game. I still want him out, Ronnie. Out, Roberts. Go Dodgers.
Irving, thanks for the call. I mean, you get to this point. Are you really going to point the finger at Dave Roberts, Rodney?
I don't know. I'm not. I mean, Tommy Lasorda is the last manager that got the Dodgers to the World Series. Dave Roberts did last year. I mean, how are you going to point the finger at him?
Let's go. Patricia, North Hollywood, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hi. I don't think they'll make it. I called it before the season. I hope I'm wrong. I saw Koufax's first no-hitter. But they're not defensively sound. And this idea that every time you turn around, it's a different lineup doesn't lend itself to people doing well. On top of that, they had the injuries to Seager and JT, and I thought that was it.
Thanks, Patricia.
Sure.
She's been around a while. She saw Koufax. So,
Koufax,
you know,
threw the no-hitter. Wow, she said she didn't think it from the start, though. From the beginning, she called it.
Well, she said because of the injuries. It's important to, and there's no excuses to be made because they can still win this division. But, I mean, you know, it's not gone smoothly this year. I think that's not an understatement, Rodney.
No, it's not gone smoothly, and last year was an anomaly. So you can't look at last year and go, oh, we're going to do the same thing, because last year was just absolutely incredible, the run that they went in, and it's hard to duplicate that. And when you try to compare, there's no comparison because every single year is different. The fact that they are still in it, where they have not played well, you know, we just talked about the Diamondbacks leading the division every single month at the beginning, yet we're looking up and the Dodgers are in a position to win it again. That's their resolve, and that's who the Dodgers are. So you got to appreciate where we are right now.
Rico in Lakewood, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I think that this is going to go all the way till Sunday, the last game. Dodgers will have a one-game lead. Bueller is going to pitch a spectacular game, something close to a no-hitter. The Cubs are going to be beating up the St. Louis Cardinals. That way, Dodgers win the pennant, and the Rockies and Milwaukee will face in the wild card. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'll take that scenario. I'll sign off on that right now, Rico.
Yeah, absolutely. That scenario, I mean, really, the Dodgers win the division and the Rockies, say, go play the wild card against Milwaukee. Milwaukee wins that. Is there anybody that wants to face Milwaukee right now?
No.
I mean, they would get the luck of the draw if they won the division and have to play Atlanta instead of Milwaukee.
Lee in West L.A., you're on AM570 L.A. Sports. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, the Fall Classic, the Dodgers, the Yankees, Manny Medrano earns his keep. In the last inning, it's 12-12, the 12th inning. Manny Medrano gives you guys what you haven't had in 30 years. Glory. Gotta go.
Thanks, Lee. Yeah, Manny Medrano used to work as the attorney at Channel 4.
He did?
Oh, yeah, Manny Medrano. Manny Machado is a different story.
12th inning.
12th inning. He's already to the World Series.
Glory.
He's already there. I mean, we're kind of worried about the next four games, but I guess if you look at it optimistically, well, they're just going to win the whole thing.
Right.
Not just the West. They're going to win it all. Let's go Manuel and Gardena. You're on AM570 LA Sports.
Fred, you look spectacular on Channel 4 last night. Let me start with that.
Thank you.
Rodney, as always, love you in those commercials. Hey, that doctor, man, I'd probably let him cut off my arm even if I didn't need that surgery. He's a happy-go-lucky-looking guy. GTB feeling you. The Dodgers are going to be fine. It's going to be scenario number one, but this is what I want to vent. MLB. In Colorado, there's a guy tanning his undercarriage with oils and not even caring about his damn lineup. I'm talking about you, Gabe Kapler. The integrity of the game calls for it. Put out a damn lineup that's going to do something in Colorado. We don't need it because we're going to win out. Go Dodgers.
All right. Yeah, no, Gabe Kapler does have an interesting way of creating testosterone. We've discussed that in the past. You know, he had a website and he suggested just tan your testicles. If you do that, then you will create more testosterone, and it's a natural way to handle it. Now, I don't know if the Phillies all did that in spring training, for example. I don't know if everybody laid down and did that, but that was Gabe Kapler's message. That was his approach. Rodney is a guy that played in the NFL.
I'm staying away from that one, Fred.
Okay.
But I will say that he's right. The Phillies, they checked out. The bags are packed. They are gone on vacation right now because they are a shell of who they are and were. It's embarrassing what they're doing in Colorado right now. They are not showing up at all.
Well, next up for the Rockies will be Washington. We'll see if they show up. Mm. David and Downey, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, Rodney, how you doing?
Good.
I'm gonna disagree with a caller a couple of calls ago that said that they should blame Dave Roberts. He has nothing to do with this, okay? He's not the one leaving runners in scoring position. He's not the one that's being inconsistent out of the bullpen. But I will say this, if we do miss the playoffs, I'm gonna blame Fred Rogan for his no hope comment.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
What are you blaming me for?
Because you put a curse on us, Fred.
No,
you cursed
please.
Us already.
You believe in curses?
No hope.
No hope, Fred. No hope.
Right. Well,
no hope, Fred.
He put the jinx. He put the jinx on it, right?
He jinxed us.
Oh, you don't believe in that stuff, David.
Oh, I do.
Do you really?
Yeah. I really do because, you know, look, we had the lead. You know, we were 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position last night.
Right.
I think we're 6-for-24 or 26 in the first two games against Arizona. Okay. Dylan Floro came in the other night, pitched great. They bring Alex Wynn in last night. He walks the bases loaded. I mean, that's the problem. Inconsistency. If we go back to one word, if we miss a playoffs, inconsistency.
David, I can...
And Fred saying no hope to the Rockies.
No hope.
He just gave them motivation. That's bulletin board material.
You think you
they heard that and put that up in their Rockies clubhouse, and now that's what they've been feeding off of ever since Fred said that a month ago.
Do you think, seriously, Rodney, do you think that they actually have an audio recording of that?
Yes, they do, and they play it before every game.
Right. They just have the two words.
Yes.
No hope.
The Rockies have no hope.
Right. They just play it before every
game.
Coming
from Fred Rogan.
Okay, wow. I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea I had this kind of influence. Let's go. Where are we going? Oh, Russell in Huntington Beach. You're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Good.
Hey, I knew from the very first series against the Angels when that pipe broke and all the caca went on the field, it was going to be a crappy year.
Whoa.
They're not gonna make it. I'm out.
All right.
You knew it was going to be a crappy year from that point on.
Or how about when the lights went out? Did you know that the lights would just turn out for the year? No. No.
Excuse me. Are the lights out? I'm confused.
That's what I'm saying. They're not out for the year. Just because the power went out.
Yeah.
Just because the pipes out? Exploded.
Is it caca? If they're still in it, right? They got a chance to still win the division.
Yeah, just ca. Huh. It's not caca. Huh. All right. David's listening in St. Paul, Minnesota on the iHeartRadio app. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. How's L.A. treating you? Hopefully it's not snowing over there.
Twin Cities.
Hey, man. I think last year was the year. This year is not the year. There was too many magical moments last year. And this is from a guy that watches all 162 games because the work schedule I got and the app works great out here. And all the walk-off wins last year, everybody's on all eight cylinders. This year, guys like Kershaw, guys like Hanley, they all just look kind of beat up, tired, and there's not enough in the tank. And the only thing I want to say about Roberts, it's not his fault 100% of the time, but I still believe that you got to leave the lineup going with the hot guy, whether he's righty or lefty, let them play, just like the Bad News Bears. Let them play. Let them play. Thanks.
Thanks, David. Let them play. Yeah, but the system has worked, and it's worked over the past few years. I understand diehard fans, longtime fans believe, just go with a set lineup, but it really is, no matter how it plays out, hard to argue with the success the club has had going in this approach, Rodney.
Yeah, I mean, what do? You got Kike Hernandez, who's hot. You got Jock Peterson, who's hot. Puig has gotten hot. David Freese has gotten hot, who Fred questioned whether or not you should trade for him or get him. You know, you got a lot of guys hot, Fred. So how do you have to be in a position to play these guys. And most of the time they've come through. The problem is they don't come through when runners are on base.
Well, they'll have a chance tonight in Arizona against the Diamondbacks and Zach Greinke. Don't forget to join Petros and Money, BJ's Restaurant and Brew House in West Covina on Monday. They'll be there from 2 to 6. It's another opportunity for you to register for the golden ticket. Attend 3 of the 17 BJ shows. It's Petros and Money Monday in West Covina, which is a great spot, 2 to 6. And you are entered into the raffle to win the golden ticket. The golden ticket includes a $500 cash card.
Listen to this.
A $500 gift card from Barry's Tickets.com.
Keep it going, Fred. Keep it going.
It includes a 50-inch Westinghouse TV.
What else?
It includes Chargers-Ravens tickets.
Joseph wants to know what else.
It includes Dodgers opening day tickets.
What else?
It includes Kings tickets.
Give me more.
It includes Clippers tickets.
Okay.
Good. That's it. The golden ticket. The only way to register for that is to get to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House Monday. Petros and Money will be there from 2 to 6.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
Joining us today for Real or Fake is the man that brings us Real or Fake, personal injury attorney Joseph S. Normand. Hello, Joseph.
Gentlemen, how are you?
We're good. How are you?
Hanging in there.
Fantastic.
All good.
All good?
Absolutely.
I'm liking what you're wearing today. I'm looking at the pants. I didn't notice that until just now. Look at you.
Hey, when the wife says wear it, you got to wear it.
Going with it. I like it, brother.
Thanks.
Any interesting cases recently, Joseph?
You know, this week has been the usual ones. And, you know, it feels great to make it happen for those people who even just got into the small fender benders, who fell behind from work, had to get treatment, and then when they get compensated, you really feel good about yourself, and it feels great to see the smile on their face. So it's been a good week.
Personal injury of any kind, call Joseph, 866-777-0677. The Dodgers' Kenta Maeda admits he was rattled after hitting a player in the face with a pitch. Kenta Maeda gave up the walk-off home run in the ninth last night. It came after an outing the night before when he hit Diamondbacks' Christian Walker with a pitch to the face. Maeda admitted through an interpreter that he was a bit rattled by that, and that may have affected his outing last night. Rodney, is that real or fake?
I mean, I could understand him being a little rattled because it was a scary moment. You saw him, Walker, go down, blood coming out of his mouth. Clearly not intentional, but it could rattle any pitcher when you hit somebody in the face. Did he say it? No, I'm saying that's fake.
Saying it's fake. Joseph?
I'm going to say it's real. Saying it gets the publicity going.
You're saying it's real.
Right on.
Okay, it's really, really fake.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Never lost.
Oh, no.
Jason?
Never lost. I never want to hear that again.
You got the other one, Jason. Oh,
please.
Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart have an amusing exchange on Twitter. Kyle Kuzma sent the following tweet directed at teammate Josh Hart. Yo, if you come into work tomorrow with a do-rag on, just know you will get flamed the rest of the year. Face palm emoji. Josh Hart responded with four crying, smiling faces and the words, I might have to. What are you laughing at, Kevin? What, do-rag?
No. Kevin comes in with the do-rag every...
Sometimes, yeah.
You know, twice a week.
Okay. Joseph, is that real or fake?
Well, thanks to the laugh, it's fake.
You're saying it's fake?
It's fake.
Rodney?
I'm going real on this one. I'm going real.
Tie it up at one, Fred.
Pretty tight locker room over there. They joke with each other quite a bit, so I'm going real.
Okay. Joseph, you say tied up at one?
I do.
You're down 0-2.
Oh, boy. It's real.
It's real, boy. I never lost. It's real.
Better. Better. Better than the other one.
I never lost.
Well, Joseph, I think you're giving yourself a personal injury here.
Tell me about it. People getting knocked in the face, emotional injury on Twitter, and I'm getting...
Joseph, let me ask you a question. If you get hit in the face by Kenta Maeda, and you start bleeding and you lose three of your front teeth, is that your fault?
Absolutely not, Rodney. Is that That's Kenta's actually fault? A great case. Deep pockets and everything.
He'll take that one all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Call Joseph, 866-777-0677. That was good, Rodney.
Yeah,
that's good. Woman sues for breaking her ankle tripping over a toddler. Kathleen Robertson of Austin, Texas won $780,000 after suing for damages when she tripped over a toddler running amok in a store. The strangest part, the toddler was her own son. Joseph, is that real or fake?
That's fake.
Does she have a case? How does she have that case?
You know, all along I was saying there is a case. Kids shouldn't be running around. And, you know, the store has to make sure. But then when it's the own son, you can't.
Okay.
That's a setup. And I just gave you the answer right there.
It's fake. I'm going fake.
You going fake?
Yes.
No, it was real.
What? It's real. No, they gotta be. There's gotta be more to that
Fred.
Story.
Kathleen Robertson of Austin, Texas won $780,000 after suing for damages when she tripped over a toddler running amok in a store. The strangest part, the toddler was her own son.
All right, I'm going to the store with my toddler tonight.
Yeah. The toddler must have slipped on some beans or something that caused her to trip over her own son. It had to be a wet floor or something like that.
Wow.
It had to be a scenario. There's no way she could sue, and it's on her own kid.
Yeah, otherwise everyone starts leaving their own
exactly.
kid around and tripping over him.
I think that story is bogus, Jason.
I would just Google it. It's the easiest way to do it.
That's your answer for everything. Just Google it. You have to wear the Google shirt every day you come in here. Google it.
I'll wear something on my shirt.
Lifelong Dodgers fan asked to cover up shirt showing a uterus or Ooh. Leave game. A female Dodger fan went to a Dodger game wearing a shirt showing a uterus and the words, No Country for Old Men, and was also wearing a pin with a crossed out swastika. She was approached by Dodger Stadium security guards who said her shirt was offensive to cover up or leave. So now I should be at Rodney. All right, Joseph, I'm going to start with you because of the way this works. Joseph, is that real or fake?
Oh boy, generally I'd say fake, but with all this stuff going on these days, I may just say real. I'm gonna go with real.
All right.
She had a picture?
She had a picture of a uterus and wore a pin with a crossed out swastika. She was told she had to leave. Her shirt was offensive. To cover up or leave.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that's real. I'm gonna say that's real. In a public place, kids around, Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, that's real.
It is real.
We agreed, and it went well.
I never lost.
Okay, Jared Goff gets a test gets testy after third straight question about him being a system quarterback. During his media session yesterday after Rams practice, Jared Goff was asked about being a system quarterback in three straight questions. He finally said, look, I'm not going to answer that question a third time. If you want to write that I'm a system quarterback, you go ahead. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Yeah, we don't see Jared get testy very often, but yeah, when they kept asking him the same question, kind of like LeBron the other day when someone asked him something that just was ridiculous. So that's real, absolutely real.
All right, Joseph, what do you think?
That's fake. When you're in front of the media, you got to answer their questions.
You're going fake, Joseph.
Right on.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
That's real, actually. I don't know where Jason talked about it.
I never lost.
I don't know. The ones today, the real ones sound fake and the fake ones sound real.
There's some backstory on that one. That was real. The guy kept asking him about, oh, you're a system, and he shot it down. It's a true story.
I just said fake news. Is that a true story?
Yeah, true.
Are you sure?
Positive. 100%.
Jason, he said it's true.
You know what I would do? I would Google it.
Yeah, I bet you would. You're making these up at home, and you're like midnight in your footies and your little underwear.
Are you wearing footies with your underwear?
You left out the glass of wine on my windowsill.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Joseph, so here we go. You go first. The best you can do is tie today. Kings mascot Bailey ranked number one mascot in the NHL. ESPN ranked the LA Kings Lion Bailey at the top of the league for his sass and charm. Bailey, who was also ranked the number one for this reason. He is known for his in-game antics against opposing fans that include popcorn showers. Bailey has also roared into online feuds with everyone from CM Punk to hockey writers. Joseph, Bailey number one. Is that real or fake?
In my mind, Bailey is number one, so I'm going with real.
Okay, Rodney.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with Bailey. I've gone to my share of Kings games, and he is the best. He's the best ever. Bailey is the best. Best in hockey. Maybe best in all sports. I don't know. Philly Fanatic's pretty good. But I'm going real.
You're going real.
For the win.
Well, which of course means you've won, no matter what.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Good you've strategy won no matter there. What.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah, you've won no matter what.
Really?
And at least you win with the right answer. It's
real, boy. There we go. It's
real. Who can argue with Bailey?
Hey, Chuck, right? The Clippers guy.
Yeah, the Clippers.
Yeah, the right. Condor.
Chuck exactly. The Condor.
Not the Condor,
that,
no.
That's
no.
Got quite the beak, that Condor. I think
Clipper Darryl is better than the Condor.
Yeah, definite. But didn't he swear off the Clippers?
No, he said that was a lie. He never swore off the Clippers, never switched over to the Lakers. He's always been a Clipper Darryl and will always be a Clipper Darryl.
Joseph, a quick question before we go. Quick question. Because we have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar joining us in a second. Quick question. So you go to an event, and Chuck the Condor from the Clippers runs by you in the crowd and all of a sudden brushes up against you, and you fall three rows down in the stands.
I love that case, Fred.
That's not your fault, is it?
No.
That's Chuck the Condor's fault.
Yes, and it's also the Clippers' fault for having Chuck.
So, of course, that would be a personal injury that people would call you about.
Oh, absolutely.
Joseph, let me ask you a question. You go out of this building.
Yeah.
You get arrested for wearing those pants.
Which is very likely. All right.
Is that your fault or your wife's fault?
My wife's fault. Bring her in.
You'd sue your own wife.
Oh.
You wouldn't care.
Take her away.
Take her away.
Right on.
Joseph S. Narmond, our friend. Man. The man, personal injury attorney. Hey, you call, he answers. He is there for you. If you need a second opinion, give him a call. He is the guy. 866-777-0677. Joseph, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Rodney.
You got it, brother. Thank you very much.
When we come back, the captain will join us, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Next hour, Ned Colletti will check in, Rodney. We'll get his take on what happened last night and what we can look forward to in the future.
Well, I tell you what. It's always good talking to Ned because you feel like he's sitting in the chair, you're on the couch, and he can make you feel better about all the issues that are going on right now with the Dodgers. But you know, there's a lot of issues going on around Major League Baseball. A lot of changes happening, and Ned's name keeps throwing out there. Everybody throws Ned's name out there as the next guy here and there.
Well, we've heard it at least twice this year.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. But he's debunked it and turned it down, or is not happening. But you got to believe at some point, our man Ned is going to be sitting somewhere else.
Yeah.
I heard his name thrown out about San Francisco. I was like, ooh, Ned can't take that job. Don't take that job, Ned.
No.
The hated Giants.
And you know, the thing about it, we can't really ask Ned about it.
No, we can't.
Because Ned will not respond.
No.
He won't respond.
And even if he was, you know, talking to them or anything, I'm sure it's confidential, his discussions or anything he does in terms of that nature, because it's a very touchy subject. But, yeah, we've heard his name thrown out there quite a bit.
Yeah, and for good reason.
Yeah. You know, he'd be a good hire.
There's no question about it. But, you know, that's what happens when you have good people around. You know, when there are good people, people always knock on their door and they want to show up. With the Rams tomorrow taking on Minnesota, we still don't know about Marcus Peters. We know Tlaib is going to have surgery. It's a short week for the Rams, Rodney. But given all of that, you still have to like the Rams tomorrow night.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, yeah, it's tough when you lose both your starting corners who you brought in here in the offseason. And, you know, it started out being 2 to 4 weeks, 2 to 6 weeks. You know, Tlaib is having surgery, so hopefully he comes back sooner rather than later. But then we hear Marcus Peters could possibly play. We still don't know if that's happening. If I'm the Rams and if I'm him, if there's any doubt or anything that he's not, you know, at least 80, 90%, then I don't play him tomorrow night. I don't risk the rest of the season in a game this early in the season. And, yes, it's a good team in Minnesota. It's a tough matchup. They lost to him last year. Minnesota went to the championship game, but it's not worth the risk of losing your starting quarter, your lockdown quarter for the rest of the season by rushing him back to playing a game like this. But Thursday night, I still like the Rams, and it's strange because Minnesota is going through some weird off-the-field stuff with one of their superstars, Everson Griffin, who made some threats at the hotel Saturday night before last week's game against Buffalo, and now they've asked him to have a mental evaluation. So they've got their own little turmoil going. Don't know what kind of mindset they're going to have coming in here, but they are a good football team. It's a good matchup, Thursday night football at the Coliseum. Big-time night. You know, we got Sean McVay calling and writing letters to employers to let their people out so they can get to the stadium early and tailgate and be rowdy at the Coliseum. But a good matchup, good test early on for the Rams.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, each time the Rams play a good team, you want them to win. But, I mean, they've already just kind of vaulted right out of the starting blocks here. They're 3-0. They're favored. They're not going undefeated this year. I mean, is that fair to say, Rodney?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they play some tough ball games. I would never say never because their team's been close. Obviously, New England was the last one to do it in the regular season, and nobody's ever done it all the way through. So there'll be some bumps in the road. They still have to play Philadelphia. They still have to play Green Bay. And so they have some tough ball games coming up, but I still don't think they played their best football yet. And I think this will be a true mark. No disrespect to San Diego, but I think the Rams were a better football team than San Diego. I mean, it's not San Diego, but
Chargers,
but LA Chargers. They're a better football team than LA Chargers. And still didn't really play a great game against the Chargers, but beat them soundly. I think Minnesota might be a better team than the LA Chargers. So this, I think, will be their toughest test to date. I'm glad that they're playing here at home. Last year they went to Minnesota and played in that tough dome up there. But this will be a test for them, and this will be a good measuring stick as to how good this Rams team really is.
Well, some people took offense because I commented that the Rams were, you know, they're on a different level. And the Chargers show a lot of promise. But the Rams simply are on a different level. And I said, if you watched that game last week, it wasn't as close as the score indicated. Yeah. And some Charger fans took exception with that.
They got mad at you, Fred, for saying that?
They did, but...
They got mad at reality?
Because it was reality, wasn't it?
It was. It was. And if you really watched the game, it really was. It was a game that, you know, ended up being closer than than the game actually was. And the Rams, were just across the board, were better. They were a better football team. And you felt that at any moment the Rams could just rattle off 21 points and shut them down and make them go three and out, three and out, three and out. And at some point they started to do that. But to me, it wasn't even close.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, it'll be interesting tomorrow. And, you know, my God, the Rams could be 4-0. What a turnaround from 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. 4-0. And think about the division that they're in. The Cardinals are horrible.
Yes.
Right? San Francisco just lost their quarterback in Garoppolo, so they're
in big trouble.
They're in big trouble. Seattle, you know, they don't know who they are, although they just beat the Cowboys. I don't know how good the Cowboys are, but Seattle's not a really good football team either. They will win their division going away, which means they'll have a home playoff game here in the Coliseum. And, you know, you as the season goes on, you want to start thinking about not necessarily winning division home playoff game. You want to get some home field advantage all the way through, which could be a big deal for the Rams to get to the Super Bowl. So just hopefully and they show no signs, Fred, of just kind of being that team that's a roller coaster team that can go up, go down. All through this process, all through even last year and in the offseason, they've just been keeping a low profile, even keel about themselves when you would think in L.A. you would hear a lot of drama out of this team with the personalities on this team, with the salaries and all the things going on with the Rams, but you don't hear anything negative out of that camp.
They know how to manage their people.
Yeah.
And it's Sean McVay. I mean, he has, in essence, somehow figured out how to make the players his partner. He's the coach, but they all work together. It's brilliant management. Wherever you work, that's what you hope, that the people in charge are able to lay out a system and create a culture where you feel empowered and you are part of it. You're not just an employee. You're a part of the solution. And that's what he's done. He's made everybody there feel that way.
No, he has. And it's incredible because, you know, it's easy to do, say, in Green Bay or in Memphis or, you know, somewhere, Kansas City. But you're in L.A. where you're starting to be that glamour football team, that NFL team, which you have to do here is you got to come here and you got to be exciting. You got to win. They are doing everything that you're supposed to do in L.A., yet you don't see, you know, Jared Goff out at the club every night or Todd Gurley out in the streets every, you know, oh, he was photographed here. He was doing this. He's not, you know, with an adult film star at a very popular restaurant like the quarterback in San Francisco was. You know what I mean? So you don't hear about all that stuff with the Rams. And I think you're right. I think Sean McVay has really gotten to that group and manages them well in a way that they can be individuals, yet their number one goal is winning a Super Bowl.
All right, we were hoping to talk to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's hard to lose a guy that's 7'2".
Where'd they lose him?
But we can't find him.
We'll find him.
Well, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
One guy we have found is Bill Oram. He's at the Laker camp today. And we got to get to the bottom of who asked LeBron James that question. We'll see if Bill knows. Hey, do you have to earn the respect of the fans in L.A.? I wonder who asked that. Let's see if he knows. We'll find out next. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 L.A. Sports. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. This hour, Ned Colletti will join us. We'll get into the Dodgers more, Rodney, and try to figure out what the future holds in store.
Just breathe. Let's just breathe. Let's just breathe, Fred.
Yeah, last night, not good.
No.
And now, basically, the Dodgers and Rockies could finish in a tie. And Tim Cates in the first hour outlined all of the scenarios that are possible. Five teams, four slots. We'll get into it with Ned, and hopefully he can give us some insight and talk me off the ledge.
You're not on the ledge, Fred. It's all good.
Good.
The Rockies still have no hope.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, you put it out there. I'm starting to believe you, Fred. They have no hope.
See, now that's going to turn it all around.
Is that going to turn
it
around?
That's it.
I'm just trying to use the positive thinking, Fred.
That's how I do it. Kevin, what's coming up at 1:30?
Guys, we'll find out what's more important, money or exposure.
I guess it depends on who you're asking.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm asking you, gentlemen. So we'll find out coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
All right. That's coming up at 1:30. Lakers are working out. Day two of camp. Day one went swimmingly, except for something that happened in the interview session after. And somebody asked LeBron James a question. The question is, Do we know who that somebody was and what possessed them to ask that question? Joining us now, our insider. He's there every day with the Lakers, Bill Oram. Bill, thanks for jumping on.
My pleasure, guys. How's it going today?
Good. You know, the big question that people are talking about, who asked LeBron the question about earning the fans' respect yesterday?
You know, I don't know who that was, but, I mean, talk about a story that has just continued to grow and grow from a pretty small moment. Rather than blast the reporter who asked the question, I think it's worth looking at kind of where that would come from. And the fact is, this has unfortunately become a storyline this summer with the Lakers. When you look at murals being defaced and Kobe fans saying they don't want LeBron here, as absurd as it clearly is, it's obvious that this is something that has been kind of simmering below the surface for the Lakers. So the fact that it has gotten attention over the course of the summer, headlines for defaced murals and questions about whether or not LeBron can ever truly win over Lakers fans, as absurd as that is, you can understand why that would be a question that got asked.
Yeah, and you think this is going to be one of those lingering things that LeBron is going to have to answer from time to time with people wondering, because there is that sentiment with fans, and she did throw out, well, the fans are asking about Kobe, LeBron, how does he fit into this and all that kind of stuff. Do you think he's going to have to deal with that? Because if he is going to hear those questions, I'm sure he's going to get even more frustrated than what he was yesterday.
Different people come around and we hear a lot of the same questions over the course of a season. But I do think that both the Lakers and LeBron have done a good job of dispelling that notion. Jeannie Buss came out a couple of times in the summer and said that if there are fans who, aren't excited that LeBron James is a Laker, then they're not real Laker fans. I mean, those are pretty harsh words from the owner of the Lakers, if you think wants the support of everyone. But if you don't support LeBron James, then you're not a fan of our team. I thought that was a pretty strong message to fans to get on board. And also, LeBron's right. I mean, he has basically committed the rest of his career to the Los Angeles Lakers. What else could he possibly do at this point, short of guaranteeing a championship? There's really nothing else he could do to show that he's all in to help this team raise a 17th banner and potentially even more, depending on how the next few years go. So, I think it's a bit of a false narrative. Certainly, the Lakers have always been about superstars. It would be strange for everyone not to be excited that they have now the next great superstar in a very proud heritage of superstars. But I think especially early on, before we really get to see LeBron on the floor and get a sense of how this is going to go, there's only so many talking points, and this has become one of them.
Bill Oram, our insider. He's with the Lakers every day with us. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. All right. They basically had one day of practice. Day two is going on. Have you seen the projected actual opening day starting lineup yet?
No, but I think it's pretty easy to piece together. I mean, the way things are going with Lonzo Ball, and based on how we know they handled him last year, they're going to bring him along slowly. And I think they also want to get away from potentially giving him too much too quickly or setting expectations too high, under promise, over deliver. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if Lonzo Ball is coming off the bench on opening night up in Portland, because you have a built-in excuse, which is he wasn't ready at the start of training camp. We added things gradually to his program. He got back up to 5-on-5. Things potentially looked good with Rondo in that first unit. And then at some point, you can let Lonzo take over. So I think point guard, it makes sense that Rondo would be the starter on opening night. And then the rest of the roster basically takes care of itself. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's the incumbent at shooting guard. Brandon Ingram, obviously, the incumbent at small forward. LeBron James, I think he's going to be a starter. I think LeBron's going to be there.
I think so.
And then everything we've heard is that JaVale McGee's the center. I think what happens behind those five guys is interesting. How do Lance Stephenson and Josh Hart divvy up roles? Where does Kyle Kuzma play? Does he play for LeBron or with LeBron? How often do the Lakers utilize a backup center? Meaning, are you seeing Ivica Zubac or Mo Wagner at all, or do they go really small whenever McGee's not on the floor? I think those are the sort of line of questions that that Luke Walton's going to have to answer, more so than who starts. Although that point guard battle is very compelling for very obvious reasons, given what the expectations have been for Lonzo Ball, and frankly, what they remain It's just that he is a little bit out of the spotlight now thanks to the arrival of the big guy.
Yeah, and to that point, let's just say Rondo and the Lakers get off to a really good start, and Rondo's playing well. It's going to be hard, you know, to replace him with Lonzo, even if Lonzo is healthy, because then you know that if it is going well, LeBron is going to want Rondo in the game most of the time, getting most of the minutes.
Yeah, and you know what? And I don't think that's a bad scenario for anybody. If the Lakers are winning, nobody's really going to be complaining. I think Lonzo's going to be on the floor a lot. Obviously, he's accustomed to being the starter, but you know, these are different times. And the fact is, if Rondo's playing really well and the team's winning, Lonzo's going to be learning from, you know, one of the best point guards, one of the best pure point guards of his generation, and that seat is still being kept warm for him. I mean, Rajon Rondo, maybe he's here longer than this 1 year, but he's certainly not the point guard of the future for the Lakers. He's in his 13th season. You know, he's getting toward the end of his career. He understands that mentorship is now a bigger part of his job than ever before. Unless the Lakers decide that they want to cut bait entirely with Lonzo Ball, he's the point guard of the future, regardless of whether he's starting or not. From an optics standpoint, from the outside looking in, I understand that Lonzo is expected to be the guy immediately, but I don't think there's any harm in having him come off the bench behind Rondo, especially if things are going well.
As long as we can keep LeVar quiet like he is right now, then everything's good.
I know it feels like a ticking time bomb, but we can enjoy it. We can enjoy it while we have it.
All right, Bill, thanks for jumping on. Thanks for the info as always. We'll talk to you.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
You too, Bill. There he goes, our insider there every day, Bill Orem, keeping an eye on the Lakers. Rodney, that question, we don't know who asked it. Nobody really knows, but
The mystery woman.
Was that a fair question? Does he have to earn the respect of LA fans?
No, I think it's a ridiculous question, to be honest with you, and it could have come from anyone. We're talking about a guy that's 3-time champion, been to 8 straight finals, MVP, gold medal. Does he have to earn the respect? First of all, most athletes don't feel like they got to earn the respect of the fans. It is about earning respect in the locker room of their teammates. That's the number one goal. So outside of that, no, he doesn't feel that way. And if you ask any athlete, they don't feel that way.
All right, we've got to get back into the Dodgers, because all of a sudden it's a different ball game now. The man who sat in the chair, Ned Coletti, will join us next. We'll get his insight. And don't forget, somebody is going to have a chance to win $1,000. We want to put a grand in your hand. It's Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. All right, and we live to give. That's what we're about.
That's what we do, Fred. That's what we do. What are we about to do now?
We're about to give somebody a chance to win $1,000.
Answer the phone, Fred.
I know.
Answer the phone. That's the only way you can win.
I know.
You mean to tell me that they don't have like an automated thing where you look at your phone and it says, yo, man, answer the phone. It's 1G.
Yes.
Or one word.
They have to.
Like, it should say that on the phone.
So make that up.
Yo,
Jason,
man.
Stewart, create that app.
Yeah, I don't think it says that. Yo.
1G?
1G.
A cool G, as we call it back home.
Yeah. They're not calling from home. Just answer the phone.
Oh,
that's
my
all
goodness.
You got to do.
A cool
right.
G.
What if the Dodgers are going to answer the call? Now they put themselves in quite the predicament. Let's bring out our friend Ned Coletti. Ned, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
All right, now what, Ned? Seriously, now what?
Now what? Well, we got a game tonight. That's good news. We got a game tonight. And look, it's in the Dodgers' control, a lot of it, although you lose last night, and now it's kind of 50-50. Both teams are in control of their own destiny in a lot of ways. But, hey, that's the makings of a pennant race.
Yeah, and, everyone wants to point a finger at somebody and blame this guy, blame that guy. This has really been the Dodgers season all year long, right, Ned? I mean, they've struggled to hit with guys in scoring position. Certain key situations, especially late in the games, they've had struggles. The bullpen, the ninth inning has been a problem. This has kind of been the norm all season long.
I think in sports, I find it very difficult to ever blame or point the finger at one person. I don't think that's accurate. I think in a game of baseball, there's so many different opportunities inside 9 innings or 9 innings plus to do something different that could give your team a 3 or 4 or 5 run lead or whatever. There's a lot of different things that go on. I think the one factor that has been
more or less a thread through the season, and it's been good from time to time, is the ability to hit with runners in scoring position. And I think that has been one area that there's been some frustration with. I think we saw it last night. Many, many opportunities. And I thought Arizona was just trying to get out of the ballpark and go home. I mean, you got Chris Stewart throwing the ball in the center field on a stolen base. You got all sorts of different things going on. It almost looked like this was a game that the Dodgers would almost win by default. But it didn't turn out their way, and AZ, Escobar had set that fastball in her half off Maeda, and suddenly now you've got a half-game lead, and Colorado's got a game tomorrow to play. So even if you win all your games now, it's not a guarantee because they can win all their games.
All right.
So you've kind of put yourself in that spot where the pressure is no longer squarely on Colorado. Today, the pressure, I think, is shared by both groups.
Ned, you talked about Maeda. Look, Kent has struggled in the ninth inning. I mean, if you just look at the numbers, he has really struggled, allowed 8 hits and 6 earned runs. His ERA in the ninth inning is 18. So I guess this begs the question, why does he keep going out in the ninth inning?
Well, that is a good question. You know, last night you could have used, Kenley in that spot. Most of the time, many times you have that opportunity, but again, you know, Dave Roberts' record is so strong in so many ways that you got to believe that's the way he's going to want to go, and that's his choice. Will that be his choice tonight in the same situation? We don't know. We do know that they do change a lot, that they have a lot of flexibility with their thought process. They have a lot of flexibility with who pitches in what situations, who's in the lineup, what position they start the game at, what position they finish the game at. So it is not a stagnant group that everybody is kind of like soldiered into their role, and it's just going to be that way no matter what the result is. And I think it'll be interesting to see if they're sitting there, too, with another one- or two-run lead, or tied, I should say, because if you're in the ninth with a lead, you're going to see Kenley. But if you're tied in that spot, if it's Kent or if it's somebody else.
Yeah, and this is the way we're rolling, right, Ned? I mean, I look up, and aside from last night, which got discouraging because, like you said, I do believe the Diamondbacks are trying to almost give it away to us. And they didn't win it, so it leaves a sour taste. But you look up, you see Chris Taylor starting to get hot. Obviously, Kike Hernandez is hitting the ball tremendously well. Jock Peterson's hitting the ball. That lineup is deadly, as they mentioned several times on the broadcast last night. So I feel good about where they are. It's just the frustration of, like you said, runners in scoring position.
It is an interesting feeling, because I agree with you. I still think that there's not a team in the National League that's better than they are. I still think, when they get to October, I think they'll run to the World Series. I believe it. I believe it wholeheartedly. I don't believe it just because we're on the flagship station. I believe it because I've seen enough to know what I believe. And I do think that they are the best team. And guys are getting hot. I mean, Kike has been really playing well lately. Great games last night. A lot of guys, Chris Taylor, as you mentioned, up and down the lineup, Justin Turner. But, you know, you have to win the game. You still have to win that particular game. The body of work has been tremendous. If you come down to one game, you're going to have to win that one game. And I think that's kind of where they're at. I still like where they're at. Philly has not played Colorado well, but Philly's like Arizona right now. They're counting minutes so they can get on a plane and go home. And so, you know, that's what you're going to have, and that's the way it kind of goes. And you got Washington going into Colorado after Philly, a team that had great expectations. You know, they're trying to finish over 500 instead of trying to figure out who they're going to play in the first round of the division. So you do have that matchup. You got the San Francisco matchup coming over the weekend against the Dodgers. So everybody's playing teams that have kind of not met expectations. And you got two teams that have basically, in a large way, met expectations. But to win every game out, that's tough to do. And Colorado's route is more difficult because they've had to win more games to get back to half game back. And they do have that extra game that they're going to play tomorrow. So Dodgers still, I think, are shaded somewhat into the upper hand area in a lot of ways. And I do love the team, and I love that. If they get to October, which I think they're going to, I think they'll run it right to the end.
Well, to get to October, the scenarios are just mind-boggling on what may happen. If the Dodgers and Rockies tie, they'll play it off. The winner of that game would then move on to Atlanta for the division series. But the loser of that game, if they finish ahead of St. Louis, then heads off to Milwaukee for the wild card.
Unless, not a play-in game, yeah.
Right, but unless, let's say the loser of the Dodgers and Colorado finish tied with St. Louis for the wild card, then that loser would have to play St. Louis to find out who's in the play-in game of the wild card.
Yes. And it might be Chicago in the wild card, not Milwaukee. Milwaukee's playing great.
So, I mean, they're going to be an awful lot of, there's a possibility of a lot of games real fast, day after day after day. So these got to be early starts everywhere.
Yeah, most likely. You'll have early starts because you'll have some teams will have to get to the next place to play the next day sometime in the scenario we just drew up.
Do you see it coming down to that?
I think you may have one such game. I don't think you have everybody in that boat. And I think the National League Central will sort itself out, so everybody knows who that is. The one might be Colorado and the Dodgers, but again, I don't see the Dodgers needing to play that game. I think that they'll be fine. I think Colorado's going to lose a game between now and then, and the Dodgers may not lose another one.
All right. Well, tonight they wrap it up in Arizona, and it's the quote unquote infamous bullpen game. Ross Stripling will start, but then it's just going to be kind of mix and match. Is that a good idea at this time of the year?
Well, if that's the best idea, then that's a great idea. And that's the idea you've got. That's where you think you have a chance to win the game. They know where what the standings are. They know where they're at. And if that's where they want to do, that's good enough. You know, I mean, Stripling has pitched pretty well. He's in innings limit that he hasn't been at before. He's a little bit past where he was a year ago. But he has had time off, and you've got to really kind of. You buy outs this time of year. You're just trying to get one out at a time and get through innings and buy outs and make the other team come out and pitch. It'll be interesting to see what Arizona does, too, because I have not seen, you know, they won last night. It's tough to sit here and say, well, they're not doing anything, but I don't see a lot of focus all the time in their at-bats. Goldschmidt, tremendous player. You know, he is all out of whack. And, you know, how they play and what kind of start they have into the game will dictate really how this game goes in a lot of ways. If they're game for it, could be interesting. If they just kind of go through the motions and swing at Stripling's big breaking ball and all that, then, you know, it's going to be, it could be a one-sided match. I think Arizona probably felt they wanted to win one game of the series, to think that they are going to fight to win a second one. I know that the rivalry is what the rivalry is, but I still think the Dodgers have the team that can put them away tonight. And if it's a bullpen game, it's a bullpen game. You still got Strip to start. You know that he's qualified to do it. And Greinke's pitching for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's had kind of a mixed bag against the Dodgers. The Dodgers know him very well. I think he gave up 5 home runs a year or so ago to them at Dodger Stadium. So he is not unhittable. And the offense has not clicked with runners in scoring position, but there is still not an easy out in this lineup. You look at the lineup, and if you're a pitcher or you're scouting this team, and you're going to say, okay, if we get through the 6th spot, we'll be okay 7-8 in the pitcher spot. No, you can never say that with this group. Every guy that you see is saying, we better stay on this because this guy could change a game. And it's 1-8, really, no matter who's playing. And Arizona's bullpen, I've been saying it long as we've been talking on this air this year. Their bullpen, it is. Guys get themselves out. They don't get very many guys out.
All right, Ned. Well, thanks for jumping on. We got the padding back in the room.
But isn't this exciting, Fred?
Sure. Maybe for you, Ned.
Love it. Best time of the year, Ned.
All right.
That's right. Ned, when the kids go home in a men's state of play, boys.
That's it.
Well, I'm sitting right here then, Ned. All right. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, Ned. There he goes, Ned Coletti. Oh, by the way, Rodney, I want to say Ryan Anderson, who listens to the show, appreciate it very much.
Yes, tweets, my new friend, Ryan Anderson.
Here we go again, Fred. You were the one championing Maeda out of the bullpen all year. You can't flip again. Another thing that can be pinned on you. Well, here's the thing. You can pin on me. I like Maeda in the bullpen. I'm not saying I don't. Maybe I don't like him in the 9th inning of the bullpen, but I like him in the bullpen.
Oh, now you're going to quantify, Fred?
Well, I like him in the bullpen.
Because he also said, I believe last night, you owe me an apology.
No, he wanted to say, it's my fault.
Yeah.
It's my fault.
Yeah.
You know what? If I have to accept the blame, I will. But there's no blame to accept yet, is there?
Okay.
Right. Because my glass is half full.
It is.
That's
and
right.
The Rockies still have no hope.
That's well, as long as they don't win, they have no hope.
No, 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 no,
yeah,
no,
let's
no.
not clarify this,
yeah,
Fred.
Yeah.
6 weeks ago, you went on
And you said that they have no chance in this thing. And what they've proven over the last few weeks is that the very opposite. They have very much a chance at this thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but we'll see how it plays out.
No, no.
Sure we will.
See, that's what Ryan just said. All your double talking, Fred. He's not having it.
All right. The Rockies have no hope.
Okay, good. Stand by it, Fred.
I'm standing by it.
All right.
And we'll discuss it on Monday because then we'll know. By the way, on Monday, Pedro Simonte, you'll be at BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse in West Covina. Your opportunity to get on down there from 2 to 6. Remember, attend 3 of our 17 BJ shows during the fall football season. You will enter in to the contest to win the golden ticket. The golden ticket. And that is a $500 cash card, a $500 gift card to berriestickets.com.
Keep it coming.
It is a 50-inch Westinghouse TV.
What else you got?
It is Dodger opening day tickets.
Talk to me, baby.
It is Chargers-Ravens tickets.
Bring me some Mo Free.
It is Kings tickets.
How you doing now?
It is Clipper tickets.
That's good stuff.
Right? That is good stuff. So be at BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse in West Covina, Monday between 2 and 6.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
And get this. Listen to AM 570 LA Sports for your chance to win tickets to see the Kings and Ducks, the heated rivalry on ice this Saturday at Staples, the downtown Frozen Dojo. And catch all of the play-by-play action live of the Kings on the free iHeartRadio app. Download the iHeartRadio app today. Keyword, LA Kings. Okay, Finn.
Come on now, Vic. Mm. Before I get to good call, bad call, I just saw this come across that Aqib Talib, we talked about him a little bit earlier, officially placed on IR. So he's going to be out for at least 8 weeks as he recovers from that high ankle sprain. So that's a tough blow to the Rams secondary.
It looked like Peters had the more severe injury.
He did. He was going to help off the field.
Yeah. That's so weird that it was Talib who's out longer than Marcus Peters.
Hopefully they can last. I believe it's week 13 he can come back. Yep. So he'll be ready for the playoffs and good to go by then. But hopefully the Rams can replace him. It's a hard. When you got a corner like that, it's a lockdown guy. It's hard to replace him, but the Rams got depth, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Some baseball here to kick things off. Good call or bad call to say that Christian Yelich is the National League MVP. Now, he drove in 6 runs in their win over St. Louis yesterday on the season, batting .321, 33 long balls, 104 runs batted in. Also leads the National League in on-base percentage and total bases. A guy that could have been acquired in the offseason for next to nothing, and now he's turned into a giant reward, giant coup for the Milwaukee Brewers. Good call or bad call to say that Christian Yelich is the National League MVP. Fred.
I think it's a good call. I love Yelich. He's from here. Went to Westlake.
That's right.
And was cost controlled with the Marlins. Remember, he wanted out of there.
Sure did.
As they were starting to get rid of guys, they wanted to hold on to him because he's cost controlled. He goes, get me out of here. I can't take it. He's a stud. I think it'd be great for him. Be very proud. I know his family would love it. Yes, he can be the MVP, absolutely.
What do you say, Rod?
Great call. Great call. Yeah, he wanted out, but he's still producing. And yes, he's cost effective. I think he signed through 2022, something like that. So, it would have been a steal for somebody to get him. Like the, I won't say it. But somebody. Yeah, great call for MVP. He is lighting it up, and he's the reason why the Brewers are the hottest team in baseball right now.
What do you say, Vic?
Sensational call. Yelich is hitting .321, old school numbers. No one cares if he hit .300. No one even cares if he hit .280 anymore, as long as he hit home runs. But he's hitting .321, just had 6 RBIs last night. He's been tremendous. A local kid. I mean, who else is there who's separated themselves in the MVP race in the National League? But Yelich, he's bringing the Brewers back. You know, even Ryan Braun, another guy from the Valley, having an off year, he's heating up. But he's got no protection in the lineup, Yelich. And he's putting up these massive numbers. So Yelich, for me, is the front runner for the MVP.
Come on now, Vic. Good call or bad call for the Pac-12 to sacrifice primetime TV slots for giant paydays. Now, a lot of people complain about the Pac-12 getting a lack of respect nationwide, and a big reason for that is many of the marquee games for the Pac-12 in football are late at night. There's 7:30 local time kicks, which means there are 10:30 kickoffs in the East Coast. Now, Commissioner Larry Scott did an interview with the Oregonian last weekend. He said, quote, "The reason we play almost a third of our games at night is it was a way for us to unlock significant value from our television in our last negotiations. ESPN and Fox placed a high value on giving them a little more flexibility and being willing to play more night games." Now, to take that from a, you know, rich suit speak, and dumb it down a little bit, they're willing to give us a lot more money if we're willing to bury our marquee games late at night on their major networks. Is it a good call or a bad call for the Pac-12 to sacrifice primetime TV slots for giant paydays? By the way, they signed $3 billion TV deals with Fox and ESPN. I'll start with you, Rodney.
Wait, cool. Go. Wait, let me get this straight.
Yes.
So to clarify this, they are willing to sell out and give their primetime marquee games to a Fox or ABC?
No, what they're saying is...
Or are they trying to bury them late at night so they don't compete with the other networks?
They're selling out by saying, we'll start our game
later,
7:30 or 8 o'clock for more money. We don't care what the East Coast thinks. We don't care about that.
So we don't compete with a 5:30 game or earlier game during the day.
We'll get more money if we just play when nobody else is playing.
Yeah, that's why nobody watches a Pac-12 network. So... Yeah, I mean, if the goal is to get in, get out, I mean, it's a good call, but to sacrifice, you know, and not care about, and that's the reason why people say, oh, there's an East Coast bias, we don't get to see the teams out here. It's because of reasons and things like this. So I think it's a bad call.
What do you say there, Fred?
Money grab.
That's what it is. That's what it is, Rodney.
It's a money grab, and given that the Pac-12 network is the most underperforming of any of the collegiate networks that have been started, I guess it's a good call. They're getting the money, and they need the money. As Rodney knows, and given what we do for a living, West Coast teams always have a problem. Have a problem with the East because people go to bed, right? Who's going to start watching a game at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night? You think it hurts you. I don't know how badly it hurts you. The Pac-12 is generating revenue. They still have outstanding players. I can see from the perspective of just the exposure, and maybe that hurts when the rankings come out each week.
Are you talking about Heisman races and things of that nature?
Yeah, and I'm just talking about the top 25.
Sure.
It's tough to figure it out if you're not seeing them.
Yep.
I mean, thank God the Oregon-Stanford game was on early last week because that was a great game between Stanford and Oregon. Stanford came back and won that game, but two very good football teams. But I think that people, a lot of people did get to see how good Stanford actually really is this year because they did play a little bit earlier as opposed to playing or kicking it off at 7:30 on the Pac-12 network.
I get, you know, I guess this. I get going for the money.
Okay. What do you say, Vic?
It's a horrific call. The Pac-12 network is already in the abyss. The East Coast doesn't appreciate the multi-skills and the high energy of the Pac-12 football because they don't see it. And Commissioner Larry Scott has buried this conference in obscure deals. They generate enough money. This is, again, this is to bury yourself to this level. You're totally, totally eliminating the Pac-12 as an entity. For a few bucks? Are you kidding me? Larry Scott, wake up, man. You need more publicity, more attention to the Pac-12. We got the athletes here. It's not just Florida and Texas and Florida. Did I mention Florida twice?
Yeah, you did.
Florida, Texas, and Florida. The insane athletes are in California, man. You need California on the air so the East Coast can see, you know, the insane talent that we have here. And, you know, I'm from Brooklyn. I knew growing up that all the crazy talent was on the West Coast. It hasn't changed. The Pac-12 network needs more exposure, not less exposure.
Bring it, Vic.
Come on.
All right, guys. Good call or bad call for a high school receiver to get ejected and face a suspension for a high-stepping into the end zone. Now, this comes between the two schools in your neck of the woods, Fred and Rodney, down there in Arizona. A school from Peoria facing a school from Goodyear, and apparently a receiver who caught a touchdown pass, shook off a defender, more or less high-kneed his way into the end zone. I can see how maybe it could be construed as showboating. They threw a flag on him. They ejected him from the game, and now he faces a suspension from the team for the next game as well. The coach says, I have no idea what he did. It seems pretty ridiculous. It seems ridiculous to me. This is Kevin speaking, that you would actually suspend a player for even if he was showboating into the end zone. Is it a good call or a bad call for a high school receiver to get ejected and face a suspension for high stepping into the end zone? Fred.
Well, from what you said, it's a terrible call.
Yeah.
What did he do? He caught the ball, shook somebody off, and basically celebrated into the end zone. But, you know, the problem with that is the officials. You know, it's a judgment call.
Yep.
Were you taunting? You know, were you rubbing it in? Could you be inciting somebody? So they always err on the side of, that's a penalty, which is stupid. And moreover, than to suspend the kid is idiotic. I think it's a bad call, Rodney.
What do you say, Rod?
It's a horrible call. What are we doing? Clay Matthews is right. We all getting soft. Getting soft all over the place. Come on. High step and frisk, right. It's a judgment call by the officials, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves. First of all, okay, you may have thought it was a showboating or whatever. Throw a flag, okay. But you're going to eject him from the game? Then you're talking about it suspending him? That is absolutely way, way beyond the realm of what should happen in this situation. First of all, if he's just high-stepping, let the kid high-step. You know, he didn't throw the ball or spike it on the kid. It's absolutely ridiculous that they're taking it way too far, way too far. Terrible call.
BTB.
Ludicrous. Are these refs on hallucinogenics?
I think so.
It's hard enough to get young kids to play football anymore with all the concussion, protocol, you know, the fear of, you know, the injuries after you stop playing. And a kid is celebrating as part of the glory of football, man, to hit the house, to hit pay dirt, and all the kid was doing was high-stepping? I mean, that's nothing. And so what if he was, if it was a point of celebration the other team, you know, didn't like it? So what? Then tackle him. Then stop the knees from pumping. This was a horrific call. And it really, it hurts the creativity, again, of a football player. And the sport needs young players because of this fear. And Ronnie, back in the day when you started, there was not this fear. But now, you know, it's a different ball game, man. It's a different game. You want the young kids playing football with no fear.
Yeah, man.
And no fear of glory.
And that's on it, Vic.
Good call, bad call, gentlemen.
All right, Kevin. Nice job.
Okay, Vic.
You talk about a day having some bad luck. The Clippers apparently have lost a guy they never had.
Stop.
Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Clippers could use a good stiff cup of black coffee after what they found out today.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy Butler wants out of Minnesota. By the way, the owner there said they would trade him. Tom Thibodeau, who is the coach and president of basketball operations, said, we're not trading you. Well, now Thibodeau has come around and said, okay, we're going to trade you because he was told you're going to trade him. So the three teams initially, Rodney, that Jimmy Butler wanted to go to, the Knicks, the Nets, and the Clippers. And you're thinking, all right, Clippers, this is good news. You make a move here, then you go out next offseason and maybe sign a Kawhi Leonard. Okay, you're competitive. You're there. People are going to have to take a hard look at you. Then the report comes out. So that was the initial report. And now, breaking, Jimmy Butler has informed the Timberwolves he prefers to be traded to the Miami Heat. So therefore, the Clippers lost a guy that they never had.
Well, you said it. They never had him in the first place. Because in order for it to make it work, they'd have to probably give up the world, which is what Minnesota is going to make anybody do. But apparently, the Miami Heat was the team that was the most aggressive at coming at Jimmy Butler and wanted him, you know, more so than anybody else. So I don't know, you know, the conversations the Clippers had or anybody else had, but it seems to me and it's apparent that the Miami Heat were the ones that actively pursued him, wanted him. And so, you know, like anything, when somebody really wants you and you hear about it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's the place I want to go. They want me. So let's make that happen. But still, the deal has to be made. And right now the Timberwolves are sitting there like, okay, we'll trade him to Miami or even say the Clippers got back into it. But here's what we want. We want everybody. We want this, that, and this, and your two draft picks. So, I mean, it's still something that I have to negotiate. But, yeah, Miami was a team that stepped up.
Now, how far must things have deteriorated for somebody to come out and force the team's hand? Once a player does that, once you publicly come out and say, I'm out, as a matter of fact, I don't want to go to media day. I don't want to report to training camp. I'm not playing. When it gets to that point, what happened behind the scenes to get it to that point?
Yeah.
Was the team not listening? Did he go to them and say, hey, guys, look, I'm not happy here. Let's move me. And they went, you're not going anywhere. So then he took the upper hand and said, all right, well, you're going to make me do this. I'll do it. How does that happen?
I think it tells you how much he doesn't like his teammates. And that's been the narrative throughout this entire situation. The fact that he just doesn't jive with Karl-Anthony Towns and he doesn't jive with Andrew Wiggins.
He got into the Twitter beef with Andrew Wiggins' brother or whatnot. Yeah. So that tells you just how toxic of a locker room that situation was. I don't even, because even in pass requests, Carmelo requested to get traded from the Nuggets to the Knicks. He still showed up and still played. When Kobe had his trade request for the Lakers, he showed up to training camp and still played. So this almost never happens where a guy just doesn't show up, not in the NBA. In the NFL, you see it all the time. But that tells you just how toxic of an environment that was. The fact that he doesn't even want to show up to camp and doesn't even want to be in the locker room with guys like Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, but I also think that Jimmy went above and beyond in terms of him wanting to trade, trying to make that happen before training camp started. But it got public and it got a little bit ugly and made it very difficult for him to even show up. And you're right, I think that locker room was toxic. But I don't know, to answer your question, Fred, I don't know how it went. I mean, it very well could have been behind closed doors. Hey, you guys got to get me out of here. You got to trade me. You got to get me. This is something that I want to do. I'm sure that conversation happened through the agents and the management. And then they may have shut it down. Say, there's no way we're trading you. We just got you. We're not trading you. We got to building something here, blah, blah, blah. And that's when I think he might have felt like the only way I can make this happen is go public. And sure enough, once you go public and they show the world that he doesn't want to be there. But to Kevin's point, you're right. I mean, he can't go to training camp like those other guys did, because the teammates are looking up going, why do we want him here? Why is he practicing with us when we know he's not going to be with us for the season?
And to speak to something you said earlier, just tie that all back into the Rams and the way they conducted the Aaron Donald business and the way they're conducting their business. You know, anything could happen and somebody could go off, but realistically, that's all kept in-house. There were no issues. Nobody came out and publicly stated, I've had enough. Yeah. You better sign. It never went that way, and it's all in how you manage the situation.
100%. I mean, you think about it. Even the guys that were, everyone was on the Rams, supportive of Aaron Donald and what he was attempting to do, their support was, oh, yeah, he's the best player in football. They need to pay the man. But it was not in a mean-spirited way, like, oh, I don't know what the hell our team is doing, or I don't know what the hell our organization is doing. They need to pay him. How dare they let him sit out there and not pay him, blah, blah, blah. It was, he deserves it. He deserves to get paid like the highest paid player. And then you look at the toxic situation in Oakland where, you know, John Gruden and the reports that he never had a conversation with Khalil Mack from the time he got hired. So, and then Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh. I mean, it gets ugly, but hats off to the Rams, the way they handled it, kept it in house, kept it smooth, and never got ugly.
All right. Well, tonight we'll see what happens with the Dodgers. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck with Tim Cates starts at 5:30. After the Petros and Money Show, Ross Stripling starts for the Dodgers. Zach Greinke will go for Arizona. Our thanks to our guests, to Kevin and Jason. Petros and Money are next on AM 570 LA Sports.